Start off with this. Parshas Bechukosai. It starts off in Bechukosai Teilecho Vesmitzosai Tishmeru. Vatsisam Osam. If you go in my ways, go in my laws, I should say, and you do my mitzvos, and you keep them. The rain will be in its proper time, the land will give off all of its produce, and the trees of the field will give off its fruit. Very, very interesting stuff that happens over here. So there's a story that goes that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, you can't say anything but the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim was a very holy Yid who decided to take himself onto an exile tour. He went out and he left where he lived in Morocco, and he went around trying to, you know, see the different people, different Jewish people around, and he acted as if he was a poor person. No one knew that it was the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that it was this holy Yid who was out there. Or HaChaim was Moroccan.
Really?
Later on moved to Eretz Yisrael. So when he was in Galus, he found himself in a wedding. People suspected him of stealing something. Now, obviously the Or HaChaim wasn't involved whatsoever, but he was the only guy that people didn't know. So they went ahead and they threw him into jail. I mean, aside from, you know, the other stuff they might have done, they threw him into jail. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt bad for him, I guess you could say. He gave him a gift, because the Or HaChaim didn't fully deserve to go to jail for what he had done. That the people had taken it a little bit too much. They did it a little too far, more than what was necessary to the Or HaChaim.
Right.
Hadn't done anything.
It wasn't a Beit Din, it was just...
Right, just down people. But
Jews,
they felt bad, yeah. So Hashem gave him a gift. The gift was, he got 70 pshatim. And the pasuk of Bechukosai Teilecho, 70 pshatim altogether. For some reason, the Or HaChaim said, I am not allowed to reveal 28 of them. I can only tell you 42. So the Or HaChaim in this week's parsha has 42 pshatim. And he gives all 42, he writes them down in the Or HaChaim on the parsha, he writes down all 42 pshatim that he has behind the pasuk in Bechukosai Teilecho. It's absolutely unbelievable. I'll tell you guys some of them. So there's another one that there's one that says, Torah is given with pardes. Pshat, remez, drush, and sod, right? It's not just simplistic pshat, there's also remez, there's hints to it, there's drush, midrashim, and also the Kabbalah behind it, right? Each derech has different paths to it. Like pshat is not just one path, there's like 70 paths just to the pshat, 70 paths just to the drush, 70 paths to the remez, 70 paths to the sod. So in Bechuko Sai Teilechu, if you go in my path when learning up the laws and don't just go in pshat, then mitzvos Sai Tishmeru, then you'll be able to keep my mitzvos, because you'll be able to figure out all the mitzvos from all the different laws that we have over here, and you'll realize that everything is right there and it's all good. It's all good. That's number one. That's one pshat that we have. The seventh pshat is like this: have a golu l'makom Torah. The Pirkei Avos says. Pirkei Avos says in the fourth parak, you should always go to a makom Torah whenever there's a place. Whenever you need to be exiled, if you need to be exiled, always go to a place of Torah. Go to a place where there's Torah. That's having golu l'makom Torah. That's in Bechukosai Teilechu. If you want to go in my ways. Go to Makom Torah. You want to go to a place of Torah, walk to my place of Torah. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Was this this pshat before the time of the Rivas or after the time of the Rivas? Rabbi Yochanan ben
Zakkai. For sure afterward. The Or HaChaim is 200 years ago. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was 2000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure, without a question. So, by the way, having Golem Makom Torah says to my chukos, you want to do my chukos, you got to walk to them. You got to walk. And sometimes, you know, people are lazy. You don't want to walk to mitzvahs. You don't want to do that sort of a thing. The point is, you got to go up and get up and walk. Number 24 is, you know what happens to your neshama after you die? It's in darkness, absolute pitch blackness, and it doesn't know where to go. It's confused. It has no idea what it's supposed to do. It doesn't know how to find its way. The more Torah you've learned during your lifetime, the more the paths will be lit up. The paths will be lit up and you'll be able to find out exactly where you're supposed to go. See, in Bechukosai, if you do my laws, if you do the Torah, Teilechu, you'll be able to go after death. You'll be able to find your way after death and you'll be able to get yourself over. And number 42, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that we learned actually in the Yeshiva program. Reb Chiya had a throne, and this throne was unlike any other throne of all the seats that were there in Shemayim. Reb Chiya's throne, unlike everybody else, their thrones were able to move by them going up and down, Malachim taking them up and down, Malachim taking them all over the place. It was like a wheelchair, so to speak, and they were being brought all over the place. But by Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya's Gorka, Reb Chiya's throne went on its own. It went on its own. Wherever they wanted it to go, it went ahead by itself. It had the power to be able to go by itself. So the pshat is, in Bechukosai, if you do my laws and you keep my mitzvos like Reb Chiya, Teilechu, your seat will go throughout Shamayim by itself without having any problems, without having any issues. That's an awesome pshat. I wish I could have the seat of Reb Chiya, but that's his 42nd pshat. Now there's a mashal. The mashal is brought down by the Lekach Tov, but it's a very, very nice mashal. The mashal goes like this. It says, you know, if there's a bunch of people sitting and eating at the same table, you won't necessarily tell the difference between them. They're all eating, they're all drinking, you know, they're all doing the same thing. You see like 50 people sitting at a table eating and drinking, nobody can tell the difference. All of a sudden they get up and leave. One guy doesn't get up and leave. Why? He has no legs. Sitting there and he has no legs. He's missing his legs from his waist down. The pshat is that, oh yeah, such an unbelievable word. In yeshiva, it goes the exact same way. When the guys are sitting and learning, and they're all doing the same thing, you can't really tell the difference between one yeshiva bachur and the other. When they're in the base medrash, there's no real difference in one yeshiva bachur and the other. They all battle it sometimes, they're all learning it sometimes. Sometimes they're with their chavrusa, sometimes they're going to the Rebbe. Now, everybody has their own thing, but really, you can't tell the difference between them. When can you tell the difference between yeshiva bachurs? Wait until Bein Hazmanim. Where do they go? When they leave, where do they leave to? What are they doing during Bein Hazmanim? Are they learning? Are they battling? Are they doing bad things? Are they doing good things? That's how you're able to tell the difference. Look at how they go afterward. That's how you can tell who's who. That's what this whole pasuk means. When you travel around, when you're going around places, so what are you doing? What are you doing? That's the way to find out what you're like. In Bechuko Saite Lechu. If when you go outside and you leave the yeshiva, when you leave the meal, can you leave? Are you allowed to get up? Are you like the guy who has no legs, who can't get up there and can't walk around? And the reason why he can't walk around is because he's got so many averos, he's bogged down at the table and he just has to stay at the table the whole time? Or can you get out there and show yourself that I want to do all the mitzvahs that there are in the world. I want to do everything that there is out there. Then we'll know who you are. That's a very good one over there. I got one last one. This is a good one. This is the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai takes the whole part. Mamish goes through the whole thing. Ready for this? You know there's a mitzvah for the king to have a sefer Torah on him at all times? He's got a mitzvah. He's got to keep a sefer Torah on him at all times. He's got to have it on his arm. He's got to be with him at all times. What's the reason why? What will be the purpose? Same one that he writes. Very good. He writes sefer Torah. He keeps on him at all times and he puts it by his arm. It's got to be a small sefer Torah that he can keep it with him. And he keeps it right there. He keeps it right there. So wherever he goes, he's got this sefer Torah on him. Does he go to the bathroom? Okay, he has to take off his tefillin. Takes off his sefer Torah. Regardless, he has a sefer Torah on him at all times. You know why a king has to have a sefer Torah with him at all times? Listen to this shot. Because he's got to look at everything in the world and see that it comes from the Torah. The king has no time to learn Torah. He's busy doing stuff all day long. He's got this party to go to, this person to talk to, this thing to take care of, this, etc. He's got all these things to do. King has no time to sit down and learn Kaviyas, learn a Seder and Ian and Kikias or anything. He has no time to be able to do it. The only thing that he can do is take the Sefer Torah and find everything that happens to him, how it fits in with the Torah. And say, oh, this is what this pasuk means. Oh, this is what this pasuk is talking about. This pasuk is referring to this thing happening to me right now. By figuring out how his life fits in with the Torah. So too, halavai. Can you imagine having Torah so much in your head that everything that happens, you're able to fit it into a pasuk? You see something? There were certain chachamim, you know, that it mentions throughout the Gemaras. When somebody did something, they called upon him this pasuk. They said, this pasuk refers to you. A guy who's so into learning that all he can think about is Torah, when he sees a guy do something walking in the street, oh, I'm Bechuko Zayte Lechu. He'll see that and all he'll think of is a pasuk in the Torah. He'll apply it back into the Torah. If you do that, I bet you can imagine, it purifies you. It makes your body pure. You become a person full of Torah. And you know what else it does? It saves you from bad desires. Saves you from tivos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that people are going to have these tivos. Whether it's tivos for eating and drinking, whether it's desire to be with people of the opposite gender, whether it's desire of anything in the world, all people are going to have these tivos. And you can't suppress them forever. It's impossible to suppress them forever. There's no way that you can suppress your taiva for eating. There's no way you can do it. You can't do it. Eventually you have to give in and go ahead and eat. There's no way you can suppress the taiva for being together with one's wife. There's no way you could just say, like, forget it, I'm going to wait 60 years, I'm going to have abstinence for 60 years. It's never going to happen. It's a stupid thing to think that you can do it. It's mamish stupid to think that you can do it. You've got to give in to taiva. That's why it's crazy. And that's why they go so nuts with all the other things. We realize you can't do it. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows you can't do it. It's not something that he expects of a person. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't expecting you to be a god, to be a malach, mamish.
Didn't yes. Moshe Rabbeinu do that?
That's a difference, and I'll tell you why. Talking with the Shechina is a hanah, it's a benefit greater than being together with one's wife. And that taiva that he had for being together with the Kadosh Baruch Hu overcame the taiva to be able to be with his wife. It was a greater amount of hanah that he got from it. and therefore it was different. That's why, but it's a great question. How was he able to go in Shemayim and not be able to eat and drink for 40 days? Moshe Rabbeinu was different. He was able to suppress the taivas because there were other taivas that he gave into, so to speak, to get him greater with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you're 100% right. That's the difference between those types of things. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He gave us mitzvos. You have a mitzvah to get married. You have a mitzvah to eat and drink a lot, and Shabbos and Yom Tov. He gave you the mitzvah to eat and drink a lot, so that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you'd be able to do something, and it'd be a mitzvah. You're giving into your tithe, but you do a mitzvah. Listen to this girl. The girl says, during the week, you're not allowed to eat more than what's necessary for you. But on Shabbos, you can fresavak. You can eat as much as you want, and it won't hurt you. The Gra used to pound on Shabbos. Pounded on Shabbos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it into a mitzvah almost. He made it into a thing where he made it into a full mitzvah where it's going to be there. And he made it into something which was completely, completely a mitzvah. It's an unbelievable thing where he gave him the ability to turn his taiva into a mitzvah. You guys have heard of Parshas Kiseita in the very beginning. What does it say? Kiseita l'mochama l'aydecha. When you go out to war, you're going to see a beautiful woman. What does the Kaddish Baruch Hu make? Within a taiva, you desire that beautiful woman, go and marry her. I'll make it a mitzvah. Unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes what our taivas are. He knows that we can't suppress him so much. So he made mitzvahs in some of the places where you would have thought, there's no way. I'm going to have to be abstinent. I'm going to have to practice abstinence. I'm going to have to do something like that. And he says, no, I'm going to allow you to do it. I'm going to allow you to do it. In fact, if you really want it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure you get that mitzvah. I am a riot of that. And I'll tell you why. There was a guy in yeshiva once in Beis Yisrael who did the mitzvah, Shiloh HaKein. He sent away the mother bird and was able to get the egg because the mother bird laid an egg near his house. He's able to do the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein. And I told him, I'm like, I'm mamash jealous of you. His name is Menachem Bader. I said, I'm mamash jealous of you. I want to have the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein. I've never been able to do the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKein. He said, well, you got to be mafker. You're the window, so you got to do this, you got to do that. So he told me what to do. I'm like, all right, you know, like I'm going for it. I'm going to try it right now. So I did it. I was mopping my window. I promise you right now, one week from that day, a bird came and laid an egg on the windowsill. 1 week. I couldn't believe it. I did all of my research, finding out which is the mother bird and the father bird and how they act and whatever it is. And then I went, opened up the window, made the bracha, pushed away the mother bird, picked up the egg. It's mine, baby. It's mine. That's what I did. It was awesome. It was the most awesome feeling in the world. Now, this is unbelievable. That day was a Thursday. I went to shir that night. Everybody had heard me last week saying, I wish that I could do that mitzvah. I came back. It was this week's parsha. And I told everyone, you want a mitzvah? You get the mitzvah. I pulled out the bird, I pulled out the egg, and I said, this is the mitzvah. I got Shiloh HaKein. This week it happened to me. The most unbelievable thing. You know what happened was, I wanted to get it covered in a glass. You know, the epilogue to the story. I wanted to get it covered in glass. I wanted to save it, you know, to get it like saved and preserve it and make it and put it in like a crystal thing and a glass thing and everything like that. I wanted to put it in, everything like that. That's what I tried to do. I brought it into Mea Shearim. It slipped out of the thing that it was in, fell down to the ground in the middle of the street and cracked. And I'm like, that's what I get for being a Baal Gaiva and telling everybody that I got that mitzvah. Unbelievable, no? Absolutely unbelievable. I was trying to help people, but whatever, I don't know. It didn't work out as well as I planned. But listen to this. What? It's all good, don't worry about it. But listen to this shot. In the Chukosai, if everywhere, Teilechu, if you go with my mitzvahs wherever, if you go around with my Torah, and you keep my Torah no matter where you go. You have my Torah with you wherever you go, like the king who has the sacred Torah with him at all times. If you keep the Torah with you at all times, that's mitzvosai tishmeru. I know tishmeru means you should watch it. What else does shamor mean? Raviv shamaras adavor. By Yaakovinu and Yosef. He waited for it. He waited for it to happen. Shamar is to wait. He waited to see what would be with the dreams of Yosef. V'es mitzvosai tishmru. And you wait and you desire to do my mitzvos. And you want to do my mitzvos. V'asisim osam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises you, you have a taiva to do my mitzvos. I promise you, you'll do them. If your entire life is Torah, and you find the Torah in everything you do, and you give into your taivas only to keep the Torah, then my mitzvos that come around, I'm telling you right now, you'll get to do them. You'll wait for them, and you'll do them. God is promising you'll get it. And then, listen to this. V'nasati gishmechem bi'itam. I will give you gishmechem, your rain, literally, right? Gishmechem is also your gashmas, your taivas. I will give you your gaiva, your taivas, your desires, and all your gashmis, your physicality within this world, be itam. I'll let you do it in its proper time. When you have a taiva for certain things, for eating and drinking, it'll be Shabbos. The time when you get a taiva to be able to be with, together with a woman, it'll be when you're married, and when it's zman ona. At the time when you'll have a taiva for this, I'll make sure there's a mitzvah involved. That's like Kadosh Baruch Hu promised me. I'll make sure your gashmias only comes the itam. Your taivas will only come at certain times so that everything will be done in a proper way, and you only get mitzvahs for doing them. For all the taivas that you do, you'll give it to your taivas and it'll be a mitzvah. It's the most unbelievable vort I've ever heard before in my life. I would love for that to happen. It's an unbelievable vort. Alright. The question is, you know, we already got brachos. If anybody was paying attention at Parshas Mishpatim, I realize it was a long time ago. If you were paying attention, you're probably spacing out by now. It's been a long time. But it says straight out that we're going to have all these brachos. It says, Babatzim Hashem Elokeichem, you will serve Hashem your God. In Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf He, Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf He, it says, you'll serve Hashem your God. Uveirach Eslach Macha, He'll bless your bread, Ves Memecha, and your water, Vasi Rosi Machma Mikir Becha, I'll remove all the sicknesses from among you, you won't have anybody that's barren. I'll give you long life. These are the brachos. So I don't understand. Why do we have to repeat them over here? If you do my laws, I'll give you your rain. I'll be able to give you your grain and this and that. Rain, grain, dain, I don't know, whatever. Keep rhyming. It all works out. What in the world is the difference? What happened that all of a sudden it changed into becoming something that was, I don't know, I guess a bigger bracha? Why is it a bigger bracha right now? So listen to this Ramban. The Ramban says there's a very simple difference between the two. You know what the difference is between the two? Before, they were promised food, water, long life, health, children, money, all nisim nistarim. They're not miracles. They're hidden miracles. You think it's in nature. You know what I'm saying? Nature is all hidden miracles. Nisim nistarim. But it's promised to individuals. Did you see, happen to see here the Lashon? Basirosi machalam mikir becha. Not mikir bechem. It's from among you, from one person. You, Yaakov, you do the mitzvos, you'll end up getting this. You, Yaakov, you do the mitzvos, you'll end up getting that. Every single time you do a mitzvah, you will be rewarded, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. This is totally different. This is totally different. In Bechukosai Teilechu, that's plural. Vesmotosai Tishmeru, Vasisem, Osam. It's all plural. Vanasati Kishmechem, Beitam. It's plural. Says the Ramban, these brachos are not for you. It's for Klal Yisrael. These brachos are promised to all of Klal Yisrael. The entire nation is going to be able to get it. That's why it says the Aretz all over the place. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. V'yishbati chayra'a min ha'aretz. V'char lo savor barsechem. And it keeps saying it. It keeps mentioning the word Aretz all over the place. Because it's not referring to just you. It's referring to the whole land is going to get this. What's the point behind such a bracha? Because I want you to think about this. It is nisim nistarim still. It's not a nes gluya of anything that's going to happen. It's a nes nister. But the pshat is that it's something that everyone's going to hold and start talking about. If Mark over there ends up getting all these great things happening to him and all these tremendous brachos and everything good happens to him, okay, that happens sometimes. It could be a tzaddik, it could be a rasha. Said he can get good things that happen to him. For sure he can get good things to happen to him. But a whole nation, you have a whole nation that happens to? Every single Jew in Eretz Yisrael gets something good? Not one Jew is poor? Not one Jew goes down? That everybody talks about. Every nation in the world will start speaking about the Jews and saying, the land is crazy. Look at what the land is giving them. It's not just one guy, it's everyone. Then everybody will start talking. Before it's just a bracha for an individual. Now it's a bracha for everybody. This is a bracha that everybody is going to talk about. That's unbelievable, and that's an unbelievable nes. That idea is the same thing with the onshin. The punishment, the tochacha that's in this week's parsha is also, if you don't do my mitzvos, then I'm going to destroy your land. It's your land that's going to be destroyed. It's not just you. Not just one person that's going to go down. It's everyone that's going to go down. And then what are people going to say? People are going to look at the land, they're going to be like, what in the world happened to these people? What in the world happened? That's when everybody will start talking and saying, what's going on over here? The Meshech Chachma says it as well, and he says it beautifully. Since the point of the world is not to have miracles. The miracles should not be in this world. The point of the world is for the world to run. Come on, finish off the sentence.
In nature.
For the world to run with nature. God made the world with a nature that just lets it run itself, so to speak. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have to come in and stop something to make everything go on. He wants us to recognize God within that Teva. God wants you, Yaakov, to recognize that nature, to see the nature, and that it's really God. Hateva is the gematria of 86, which is the gematria of Elohim. That God is within every little bit of nature. He runs it naturally. It's all natural. Everything happens naturally. But He wants you to realize that it's Him. So the pshat behind that is just like this. By the way, anybody heard of this show, the TV show, Joan of Arcadia? Ever heard of that? Somebody told me about this. There was a pilot for this TV show called Joan of Arcadia. I don't know if it ever made it onto TV. I have absolutely no idea. But in the pilot, the woman pretended, she said she was a god or she was an angel or something. Some guy said, prove to me that you're a god. She said, there's a tree over there that I created. So the guy said, so what? She said, you make one. You think it's so easy to make a tree? With all the science and all the technology that we have, we cannot create a tree. We cannot create a tree. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's the one thing that we can't do. We can't do it for the hay. But there's no way to be able to do it. There's no way to be able to run the entire world that way. The whole point of if you do my mitzvos, everything will run smoothly and naturally. And naturally we'll get all the brachos in the world. It'll naturally happen because the rain wants to come. The rain wants to give off fruits. Everything wants to happen in the best way. The animals will stay away from us because it should be that way. They know it's that way. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we don't think about that stuff. Sometimes we don't think of it. And that's the point of a nace. A nace, a miracle comes along to be a constant reminder. To be a reminder to a person. To slap you at the back of the head and say, no, you idiot. God is running the world, not you. Not just nature. Not Mother Nature, like the stupid, stupid scientists that are thinking. Mother Nature. Not nature. It's that there's something behind all of it. And that's why there's a miracle once in a while. Why there's something that happens, why there's something that happens that's totally unnatural. Totally unnatural. So that we realize there's something behind it. That's why, if you say Ashrei every day, you're zocher to go to Olam Haba. It's Gemara Brachos. But if you say Hallel HaGadol every day, you know what that is? Hodol Hashem Kito Kilon Chasto. You know what we say on Shabbos? Hodol Hashem Kito Kilon Chasto. Yom Hashem Kilon Chasto. The 26 Kilon Chastos. That's why if you say that every day, you're a kofer and an apikoris. You want to hear the reason why? It's unbelievable. Ashrei is natural things. Nature. Natural things in the world. Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. Praiseworthy are those that live with you and all the good things that happen in this world. If you do Ashrei, you'll get Olam Haba. Because if you're able to realize that God is in this world, you're guaranteed Olam Haba. I guarantee you, you'll get Olam Haba. That's Ashrei. But if you say Halal Gadol and you just thank God for the miracles that He's done, you just thank God for the great things that He's done, I'm sorry, my friend. I'm really sorry. But in that case, you don't deserve to be in this world. Because if you only thank God for the miracles, but you don't thank God for nature, you're an idiot and a fool, and you don't belong here. You don't belong here. You should get out of here. That's what we're trying to say about you. Listen to this. The brachos start off with the letter Aleph. Im b'chukosai teleichu. Anyone want to guess what the last letter is of all the brachos? Kol min biyus is a tough. It goes from Aleph to tough. There's a Seder to it. The brachos are within the Seder of the world, the nature, the order of the world. The brachos are there for us to take. When we screw up ourselves and don't realize that the nature is run by God, that's when we turn things around. When it starts with a Vav, the curses, and it ends with a Hey, over here, B'yad Moshe, with a Hey, that's when we mess it all up and we turn it backward. We turn everything backward. And the nature of the world, which wants to do good things for us, turns backward and messes everything up for us. And then we start having famine. And then we start having these things happen and those things happen. And that's all the bad things in the world. That's shot by the way. Why Adam Rishon? What did Adam Rishon call God? What did he call him? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Havaya. He created the world. Haya Hova V'iya. Because that's what Adam Rishon saw. It saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. But Avram, what did Avram call HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's the Gemara at the end of Brachos in the first parak and Daf Tes. Yud Gimel Aleph, I believe. What does it say? I don't know. Why? Because he realized there's a master to the world. What was Avram Vito well known for? Seeing God in nature. He was able to figure out that there was a God from looking at the world. He was the definition of there's nature, but there's a master over that nature, and that's Adonai. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was in charge. But Adam Rishon didn't care about the nature. He obviously knew who created the world. All he saw was that there was a God who created everything, and he called him Havaya. That's why Avram Avinu was so great. And the point of the world is not Adam. The point of the world is to be like Avram. To recognize God within the nature. That's why Behi Bar Am. When God created the world, Behi Bar Am is the same letters as Be'Avraham. Such an unbelievable pshat. That's all the Meshech Chachma. That's an unbelievable pshat. Very quickly, by the way, I love this word. I never get to say it. Urdaftim Sadechem in Zion, you'll chase after your enemies, they'll fall in front of you by the sword. Next pasuk. Ravu Kam Kamisha Meo Memi Kam Ravav Yerdofu. 5 will chase 100, 100 will chase 10,000. V'naflu Aydechem Lifnechem Macharev. And your enemies will fall in front of you by the sword. The first pasuk did not say the word Aydechem. Just they'll fall in front of you by the sword. Over here it says your enemies will fall in front of you by the sword. What's the difference? The Or HaChaim says the first one happened in the times of the Chashmonaim. By the times of the Chashmonaim, Josephus writes in his Sefer that the Greeks claimed in the middle of the war that when they were fighting the Jews, they saw a massive man wearing all golden armor flying on a flying horse with fire coming from the back. It was a Malach that was fighting from an Esau, and they couldn't hit it, and just went through all the different people in the Greek army, and it was destroying every single person there. When you're doing my mitzvos, the naflu lifnechem lacharev, they'll fall down in front of you by the sword, says the Or HaChaim. They'll fall down right in front of you by the sword before you even go anywhere. They'll just fall one by one, one by one. They'll just die in front of you. You won't even have to lift a finger. You won't even have to lift a finger. That's one thing. V'naflu oyvechem lifnechem lacharev. Oyvechem is your enemy. Your enemy refers to Goliath. Chanukah Satorah says an unbelievable thing. By Goliath, David HaMelech, we know, hit him with what?
A stone.
With a stone, right? So let's go. You're standing right there, you're Goliath, I'm David HaMelech. I hit you with a stone as hard as I can. Right, and it hit you right there in the head. Where would you fall?
Backward.
Backward, right? Obviously, you're going to fall backward. It's the most obvious thing in the world. You wouldn't fall anywhere else, right? That's what it's supposed to be. Goliath fell forward. Forward. Why? So that David HaMelech wouldn't have to move to cut off his armor. So David HaMelech could stand exactly where he was. Goliath fell right in front of him. And David HaMelech would just be able to, oh, thank you, cut off his armor right there. Right then and there. That's what he'd be able to do. So instead of him falling backward like he should have, he swayed forward and fell down in front. He fell down straight down in front. By the way, the far side, Gary Larson was mechavin to this. There's a far side that has a famous picture with this huge giant falling on the ground face first. Right? And you see two people saying to one another, wow, you'd think if he was that quick with a slingshot, he'd be quicker on his feet. Obviously, pretending like David HaMelech fell underneath. But he was mechavin to the pshat that Goliath fell forward and not backward. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my gosh, he was mechavin to the Chanukah Satorah, the Rebbe Rav Heschel. I couldn't believe it. But that's it. V'naflu oyvechem, your enemies will fall lifnechem lacharev. That if you're chasing after them, they'll fall in front of you so you won't have to move around. That's the idea behind it. Yeah.
Why do we care about David HaMelech cutting off the armor? What does that mean?
In other words, so we wouldn't have to go. It happened to be that he was going to get his armor and he was going to chase after him. So instead of having him walk all the length...
David HaMelech and the giant armor?
100%. Well, yeah, why not? Not to keep it. That's part of the spoils of war, my friend. How do you think they made their money?
Also,
a lot of money. The stuff was filled with jewels, bedecked with jewels and everything. You know, Goliath never lost.
He also cut off his head and then dragged it around the Jerusalem.
Yeah, there's another thing about that. Do you ever hear the reason why we use a metal sword, a metal knife for bris milah? We used to use rocks for bris milah. We used to only use it. And I'll tell you why.
A few mistakes.
I'll tell you why. Well, no, they sharpened the rock. They sharpened the rock so that it was very sharp. However, and it could be like diamonds or stuff like that. Very good. No. With Moshe Rabbeinu with his kid. It was actually Tzipora, Vatikach Tzipora Tzor. She took a rock and she gave a bris milah to her son Gershom or Elias, so we don't know who it was. And in the end, very, very good. Very, very good. They used to use rocks. Why? Because there's a halacha that you can't use metal against the Mizbeach. If you can't use metal against the Mizbeach because it's the power of Esav, Kol Shekin, you can't use it against a Jew. Kol Shekin, you shouldn't use metal against a Jew. How can you use it against a Jew? It's the power of Esav. You're giving Esav on your bris milah until David HaMelech came along. And promised the metal. If you open up for my rock to be able to kill Goliath, I promise you will use metal for bris milah stones. And it opened up, this metal opened up, and from then on we used metal kalim for bris milahs. The most unbelievable thing in the world. I'm sorry?
Go back to using rocks.
I don't think so, my friend. You can use a rock for your kid's bris. I'm going to use the regular knife. Here we go. Chav Zayin Lama Beis, my friends. This is my favorite board. I'm telling you right now, it's my favorite board of all time. You don't get much better than this. This is one of the greatest boards you'll ever hear. I'm telling you right now, it's the, one of the greatest boards you'll ever hear. It's there, it's going, don't worry. Parak Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Beis. It says, V'chol Maser Bakar Vatzon, all the tithes of the cattle and the sheep, Ko Asher Yavor Tachaz HaShavet, anything that passes by underneath the rod, Huasiri, the tenth goat or sheep that goes underneath, Yakodesh Lashem, should be holy to God. Can I say that again? All the tithed animals of the cattle and the sheep, anything that goes under the rod, the tenth one that goes through is Kodesh Tashem. You got to lead them through a corral. They go through. The tenth one that goes through, you hit it down with a red stick, and it becomes Kodesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know there's not only Peshat in the Pasuk, not only the literal translation of a Pasuk, there's also Remez. There's hints to the Pasuk. Listen to this Remez, you'll go crazy. You'll go crazy. It's absolutely unbelievable. The Asara Ruge Malchus, the 10 people that were killed, the 10 martyrs of Rome, the Asara Ruge Malchus were killed. Why? Because Yosef was sold. And the Asara Ruge Malchus took the place of the 10 Shvatim. We all know the famous story of the Roman emperor who put shoes throughout his whole house, and he called in the Chachamim and he said to them, what's the halacha if you kidnap a person and sell him? They said, the halacha is your Chayiv Misa. He said, the Shvatim are Chayiv Misa because they sold, kidnapped and sold Yosef. And you guys are the greatest since them, therefore you're going to take their place. So the Chachamim said, let's wait, we'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they went up to Shemayim, HaShemayim told them, they told Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, you got to be killed. You are going to take the place of the Shvatim. It's been told from behind the curtains that you got to be killed. So they went ahead and they were killed. So that's good regarding nine of them. Because there are only nine Shvatim involved. Reuven, if you'll remember, went back to Yaakov Avinu. Binyamin, if you remember, was too young. And Yosef definitely wasn't involved. Yosef was sold. That leaves you with nine Shvatim that were there that sold Yosef. So why were there Asar Aruge Malchus? There should have been nine Aruge Malchus. Why were there 10? Because the 10th one was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved himself in the Maisa, and he made himself part of the minion. Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that is a big deal. The Shvatim got him involved, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu went there.
But how could you have somebody killed on death?
How in the world could you have a representative of God? Who's going to represent God? Gemara Bava Kama, Mem Aleph Amin Aleph, says, Nechemiah Misuni, some people say, Shimon Misuni says, I can darshan all the essen in the Torah. I darshan every essen in the Torah. All the essen, what the S means over here, what does the S mean? He darshan every S in the Torah, what it meant, what it's including, what it's telling you. He went through every S in the Torah. Until he came to the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. You gotta fear God. When he got to that S, Pirish. He stopped. And he said, I can't do it anymore. How can I tell you? You can't fear anybody but God. There's nothing else that you could fear aside from God. There's nothing else that you're supposed to fear. He said, he stopped. All the time he said to him, Rebbe, what are you going to do with all the drushes that you did up until now? What about all the other drushes of all the other essen? He said, just like I got schar for darshaning them, I'm going to get schar for separating from them and saying, no, I'm not going to do them anymore. Because he realized that there's something wrong with his drushes if he went that way. Ad Shabba Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came along and said, Es L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. You know you gotta fear like you fear God? You gotta fear Talmidei Chachamim like you fear God. Rabbi Akiva, when the Gemara and Pesachim Mem Tassim and Aleph said that when I was in Am Aretz, I used to say I would bite Talmidei Chachamim like a donkey. And the Talmidim said to him, Rabbi, say like a dog. I'll bite him like a dog. He said, no, donkeys break bones. I hate Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva used to say. When he became a gadol, he realized, you gotta fear Talmidei Chachamim like you fear God. The Medrash says, there came a baskol from Shamayim that came down and said, Akiva, you say that Talmidei Chachamim are equal to God? I swear, you're going to take my place in the Asar Ruge Malchus. You're going to represent me in the Asar Ruge Malchus. You equate yourself to me. You'll be my place in the Asar Ruge Malchus. And Rabbi Akiva took the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the Asar Ruge Malchus. Now look back at the Pasuk. V'chol Masar stands for the following. V'yadu Kulam Lama Meis Akiva Shahaya Roe Bakar Vatzon. I'm going to do that again. The letters V'chol Masar V'yadu Kulam Lama Meis Akiva. Why did Akiva die? Shahaya Roe Bakar Vatzon, who used to be a shepherd of cattle and sheep. That's what Rabbi Akiva used to do. Because Kol Asher Yavor, everybody who passed away was Takasa Shevet, was instead of one of the Shvatim. But there were only 9 Shvatim. Ha'asiri, the 10th one, Rabbi Akiva, Yakodesh Lashem. He was holy and represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the pasuk is referring to. It's a remez to Rabbi Akiva dying in the Asaru Gemalchus, taking the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is an unbelievable remez to the pasuk. That's what the pasuk is talking about. To which you gotta ask, why in the world did he deserve such an onus? What did he deserve that type of a punishment for? That's a crazy punishment. What kind of punishment? What does he deserve such an onus for? So there's a stira in Gemara.
Was it actually an onus or was it a compliment?
If you're taking a place
to die that badly, to represent God is good. But he had his skin combed off, his flesh combed off.
But that's when he realized.
What kind of an onesh? You're right, but what kind of an onesh does he deserve? So to be killed is one thing. To have your flesh stripped off with a metal comb? Do you know what that's like? And according to the Ben Ish Chai, it was 40 days of combing off his skin. Every single day from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur, they combed off his skin. And every day he said Shema Yisrael because the pain was so unbearable that he thought he was going to die every single day. But he didn't die until Yom Kippur. And that's when he said Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad. That's how they answer the Sira. Because he said Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad. Then the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe Ad Kan. And he said to him, all my life I've been able to be Mekayim B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Me'odecha. Now I can finally give my soul B'chol Nafshecha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you want me to stop? And when we stop, I want to give my soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Gemara says in Brachos, Ashrecha Rebbe Akiva, Shiyatzta Nishmascha Be'echad. Praiseworthy are you that your neshama left you at Echad. No, it didn't. It left with the word Bechol Nashecha. What happened to Achad? Ben Ish Chai says, that happened on the first day on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Every day he thought he was going to die and he kept saying Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad for 40 days until Yom Kippur came. And finally, that time, he couldn't take it anymore and he died. That's when he passed away on Yom Kippur. And his yurt said it's supposed to be on Yom Kippur. So listen to this. That's one thing. So the one thing, there's a stira in Gemara is why he deserved this onesh. One stira is in Avos to Rebbe Nassim. Avos to Rebbe Nassim, Perek Dalet, says Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanis was in Cherem, and he was sick, and he was dying. Rebbe Akiva went to go visit him with everybody else. Rebbe Eliezer said, what happened to you guys? Why didn't you come visit me before this? He said, you were in Cherem, Rebbe. You were in Cherem. Rebbe Eliezer told them, you don't think it's worth getting in Cherem to come visit me and hearing my Torah? You didn't think it was worth hearing it? He said, I would be surprised if you guys didn't die a strange death. Rebbe Akiva said to him, what about me, Rebbe? Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanis said, you have it worse than anybody else. You have it worse than anybody else. Because you could have gained much more from me, said Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkanis. And because you didn't, you're chai misa bidei shamayim. And the misa bidei shamayim is going to be taken care of by you having a tremendously bad death, a tremendously terrible death. Unbelievable. But there's a stira, because the Gemara Menachos and the Chaf Tassim Abeis, where Moshe Rabbeinu saw what happened to Rebbe Akiva in his lifetime, he was listening to a shir, and he's like, I don't get what he's talking about. At the end of the shir, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the shir, he said, wow, if that's his lifetime, let me see what happens in his death. How great is his death? And he sees his comb being, his flesh being combed off. He says, "Zu Torah v'zu schara. This is Torah, and this is the reward that he gets." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Shtok, shut up. Kachal b'machshava. This is what comes up in my thoughts." What kind of an answer is that? What's the answer? Why did that happen to him? So the Nitzutz Shimshon, where Shimshon Master Polya said, Rabbi Kiva was so high above Moshe Rabbeinu, he got to a level of Tzur, of Tzadik Varalo, the level that Moshe Rabbeinu was never able to understand. The 50th level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let Moshe Rabbeinu understand. He was the one who went into Pardes and didn't go any further. He was able to get to that 50th level of Torah learning and not go any further. Get to that level and say, alright, I'm done. But he couldn't get that high. Because to get that high, you need to have Zchus Avos. And Rabbi Akiva, as we know, was the son of Gerim. Yeah. He was a son of Sisra, a grandson of Sisra, the general of Naaman's army. He couldn't get that high. So how in the world was he supposed to become so great? How was he supposed to do that? You can, if you're makabel upon yourself, tremendous Yisurin. And Rabbi Akiva took it. Rabbi Akiva said, I'll take it. I'm willing to take these Yisurin in order to become that great in Torah learning. Very similar to very, very big Gidolim, who have tremendously hard lives at the end of their lives. Because the only way for them to become that great in learning, for Nassim Tzvi Finkel, to have the life starting off in Chicago, so to speak, and having that much tumah within him, but becoming so Tahor, in order for him to get to that level, you have to accept upon yourself Yisurin. I have no doubt that the Peshat, yes, I have no doubt that the Peshat Me'an Rav Nelson Tzvi, why he has this amount of pain, is because because he needs to get rid of, he wanted it. He wanted to bring himself to the level of learning that he's at, to a level of learning that we just can't understand. To bring himself to that level, to understand, to bring himself to a level of mamish, to be able to understand how high you get up there. He accepted it upon himself, and he accepts it ba'ava. It's Yisuin Shalava that brings him up to that level. Oh, yeah. Rabbi Kiva did it l'shem shamayim. Perhaps it's not a seer after all. Rabbi Kiva did it purely l'shem shamayim. And what Rabbi Elazar ben Horkana said to him is, if you're doing it l'shem shamayim, and that's why you're supposed to have a bad death, he turned to him and he said, then why didn't you come to me? You're worried about the cherem? If you're doing it l'shem shamayim, what do you care about the cherem? The cherem shouldn't matter to you. It shouldn't matter what you're getting in shamayim, what you're getting as your schar in olam haba. It should just matter that you want to learn Torah. And you didn't learn the Torah from me. You lost out on certain things that you could have gotten from me because you didn't learn from me. And that's your fault, Rabbi Akiva. So yes, you are on a tremendously high level. You would have gotten higher, Rabbi Akiva. You would have been even higher if you would have come to me. And you didn't sacrifice yourself hard enough. You sacrificed yourself to be able to get your flesh combed off. But your sacrifice is not great enough. There's going to be something worse that happens. What happened at the end of Rabbi Akiva's life? He made a massive mistake with Bar Kokhba. Massive error with Bar Kokhba. Massive. Saying he was Mashiach.
But I thought he was for a time.
He could have been. But that was a big issue with Rabbi Akiva and causing major issues and sorrows for Klal Yisrael. Wasn't Rabbi Akiva's fault, but that was part of the curse, so to speak, of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus. Something bad is going to happen, Rabbi Akiva, and I see it through you. Unbelievable shot of what happened over here. There's a lot to talk about, but that's Rabbi Akiva, and that's the remez inside our pasuk at the end of the Torah, at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, Bechol Maser Barkavaton. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazekat, at the end of Ayikra. Shkoyach, have a good Shabbos.